Hey guys, it is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops, and I am bringing you the Week 7 Sell High videos. These are players that are overperforming or just performing so highly that their value is just super crispy right now for you to get the most assets in return. I had an interesting conversation recently, and someone said they don't draft players with the idea of trading them. And I didn't go too much into the argument with them, but that seemed like such a silly proposition to me, because ultimately, this is a game of asset accumulation. And if you're not considering what you're able to get back for players when you're making decisions such as drafting them, I just think you have the wrong mentality, and it may be limiting your upside. Because if I can get a player that ultimately nets me more players to help me be better, how do you ignore that? I don't know how you can ignore that in a competitive format. It's even a little arrogant to me, but I thought it was interesting. All right, sorry to go on a bit of a rant there, but the reason I'm tying that into these videos is because you're looking to see which guys you can get the most value for, which guys you can get the most assets in return with the idea of making your team stronger. A different conversation I saw that I thought was interesting was the idea that the person who gets the best player wins the trade, which isn't true. So let's say I have the best player, but my bench is absolute garbage, okay? Or if that were true, the so-called stars and scrubs approach for auction drafts would be the way to go. You just grab the two best players and then you load your team up with minimum value type players. Anyone that has done that before knows that it is not a sound strategy. But based on that logic, since you're getting the top players in the NBA, you can manage to have a bench that just consists of really bad players. But the fact that that doesn't happen to be the case, to me, indicates that there are situations where you can give up the best player and win the trade. So in situations where maybe that best player does not fit your build and they're hurting your overall build just because of lack of fit, and you get three players who are not as good individually but fit perfectly with your build, that could unclog your entire team. So let's say you have an Andre Drummond, and his lack of threes, his turnovers, and his free throw percentage are just really hurting your build. If you trade him for three players that individually aren't as good as Andre Drummond, did you lose the trade? No. So these are some of the ideas we need to get out of our head. The build is what matters the most. But first player I want to talk about is Fred VanVleet. He had an astounding game last night, played 37 minutes, shot almost 74%, hit 11 three-pointers, hit a Raptors franchise record 54 points, had three steals, had three blocks. This is one of the best fantasy stat lines I've seen ever. This guy is an absolute stud, and that game was so good that he's now ranked in the top five. And you know, want to know what league I have him in? That is right, the Brock Lesnar Hoops Cash League. I drafted him in that league, the league with my subscribers, and you know I am not regretting. See, let's go ahead. I want to show you that team, because this team, in my opinion, is underperforming due to a series of issues such as postponed games. Just a number of different things were holding this team back. 11th place, as you can see, 23 and 29. But when you look at this team is a lot better than its record would indicate. And having Fred VanVleet, Kyrie Irving, had both of them go off last night, I just really feel this team is going to be a lot better than it's performed so far. So just wanted to show that off, because this is the subscriber league I advertised heavily before the season started. And to have Fred VanVleet on my team when he had a performance like that feels incredibly validating. Either way, however, with him now being a top five guy, this may be your turn to get a sizable return for him. Maybe you offer him for Steph Curry. Maybe you offer him for Damian Lillard. Maybe you offer him for a top 10 guy who's been underperforming a little bit. This is your opportunity to send that trade offer, okay? Fred VanVleet is a stud. Chances are I'm not going to try to move him. I really like his ability to get me a lot of steals, to get me a lot of assists, and keep the turnovers low. So I'm personally going to hold on to him. But it has to be said, His value is incredibly high right now. Damian Lillard, a player that I just mentioned. The reason I'm going to put him as a sell high is because he had 32 points, 8 assists. But we also learned he's dealing with an abdominal issue. So when I hear something like that, that's a little concerning. And the team is so shorthanded already, he may be forced to play through it, which could lead to him aggravating it or making it worse. So that is my major concern. And why I would consider him a sell high, because the production is there. He's ranked in the top six. And if you have concerns about that abdominal issue, possibly jeopardizing some time later this season, now would not be a bad time to look into moving him. The worst thing you can do is wait for him to get injured and then try to move him, because his value would be depleted at that point. Malcolm Brogdon keeps making this list every single week, and the wave keeps going up. He keeps performing. He's ranked at number 8. The free throw percentage is amazing, hitting almost 3 3-pointers, 23 points, 7 assists to only 2 turnovers, and he's been getting a decent amount of steals for the season. Malcolm Brogdon, former Milwaukee Buck, and I must say I really miss him on our team. Missed him as soon as he was gone, and he was an underrated part of what we were doing. Now, it has to be said, there's a lot of things going in his favor right now. The lack of Malcolm Brogdon, the lack of Caris LeVert, and Caris LeVert may be out for the season. I don't think it's been confirmed yet. But TJ Warren is definitely opening up some minutes for Malcolm Brogdon and some usage. It would not be a bad idea to see what you can get for him right now. If you can get a really good player, would not be the worst idea in the world to trade him now. Again, just like Fred VanVleet, if you want to hold on to him, not a problem at all. I would understand that 100%. I value the guy a lot. I'm a huge fan of his, and his ability to help your percentages while really contributing across the board and keeping those turnovers low make him incredibly valuable. But I just don't see him keeping top 10 production for the entire season, and he's been somewhat injury prone over his career. So just some things to keep in mind if you're deciding whether to hold on or to maybe cash out while the value's this high. Miles Turner had an amazing game on February 2nd, had 3 3-pointers, 22 points, 11 rebounds, had 5 blocks, and the shot blocking party just continues with Miles Turner. He's getting you the threes, 1.2 steals, just an incredibly valuable player, ranked in the top 7 right now. But as you can see, he's a game time decision, and he's questionable for today with a sore shoulder. He's also dealing with a hand ailment. And I don't know how sustainable it is for him to continue getting close to 4 blocks per game. I'm assuming that it's going to normalize to something around 2.5 to 3 blocks per game as the season progresses. So if you trade him right now, you're probably close to peak value for Miles Turner. Definitely would want to consider moving him if you can get a really good player in return, or you could package him with another guy and maybe get one of those top 10 player caliber players. I would strongly consider that. James Harden, I have to put him as a sell high after the strong performance that he had. I know there were some concerns that he would not be a fit on that Brooklyn Nets team, just based on having Kevin Durant, based on having Kyrie Irving, both high usage players. And so far, he's been a great fit. I don't think it's the worst concern in the world, though, to just worry that there's only one ball and at one point one of these guys is going to take a hit in value. It's possible it's James Harden. If you have concerns that it could be James Harden, this is not a bad time to move him after the triple-double he just got. He had a triple-double 2 games before that. He did miss a game January 31st, so his value's at a really good spot right now. James Harden has proven himself to be a top fantasy player for years now, so I personally would try to trade for him rather than trade him away, but his value is really high right now and it could go down. It's possible that it could go down again, playing with high usage players such as Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Chris Middleton is another guy that's been performing at a top 10 level this season, and I don't know how sustainable it is for him to continue it. His percentages are incredibly high right now. His production is very similar to Malcolm Brogdon's, if you can see here. He's putting up all-star production. And again, very happy to have him on my Milwaukee Bucks. But I would strongly consider packaging him maybe with someone else and seeing if you can get someone like Paul George. I think Paul George overall is the better player. And just, I really like Paul George's ability to get you a lot of steals. Though Chris Middleton's production right now has been great. Just don't know how sustainable it is for him to be a top 10 player all season. I think he can be a top 20, 30 guy for sure. But his value is just really high right now. Jrue Holiday, also on my Milwaukee Bucks. Man, I love this. I know I'm wearing this Blazers gear right now, and I'll tell you later why. But Jrue Holiday, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite fantasy assets. And as you can see here, I have him in my Dynasty League. He had 22 points, 3 steals, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He's shooting great percentages so far, hitting 2 3-pointers per game, hitting almost two, getting you almost 2 steals per game, over half a block per game, keeping the turnovers low. He's been a very good fit with my Milwaukee Bucks, and he's ranked in the top 12. Jrue Holiday was definitely not being drafted that high, so that makes him a sell high target. In the past, we've seen him be a top 15, top 25 caliber player, so it's definitely sustainable. But his value is so high right now, you could get a really good piece or two in return for him. And if you're considering moving him, this is not a bad time. Gordon Hayward has been performing at a top level as well. My concern with Gordon Hayward is always injury concerns, but so far he's been healthy. He's been playing. They've won 3 games in a row. He's getting between 36 and 42 minutes, and he's contributing across the board, as you can see here. The assists can probably even go higher than they've been. He's getting you 1.3 steals, also getting you over half a block per game. My concern with Gordon Hayward is always related to injuries, but Gordon Hayward has silenced a lot of detractors and doubters. I doubted him, and I've been wrong. But his value is really high right now, a lot higher than it was when you drafted him. So you may want to consider packaging him, and maybe you can get one of the guys in the buy low video that I make later this week. Just something for you to consider. Clint Capella, his value has increased significantly over the last few weeks. He's been a rebounding machine, getting almost 15 rebounds per game, getting over 2 blocks per game. The big things you have to keep in mind with Clint Capella that hurt you are his low free throw percentage, his lack of threes. So he fits better with a punt free throw build. So if you have maybe a team that isn't ideal for a punt free throw build, it's not a bad idea to see if there's anyone in your league punching free throw or who's bad at free throws or maybe in need of a center. And you may be able to package him in a deal and get a really good player back. Clint Capella has been the top fantasy producer in the past, and it's really nice to see him putting up the production he's putting up. People had concerns that John Collins would take away from his value, but so far that has not been the case. Mike Conley, definitely a sell high candidate. He's ranked at 27 right now, which is like prime Mike Conley territory. He's pretty much playing at prime form right now. His percentages are nice, getting almost 3 3-pointers, and his team is winning. So not only is he playing, but he's putting up production on a very successful team so far, getting 1.5 steals per game. Really nice production. But I would also consider moving him just because we did see him struggle significantly last year. He is older now. He's not in his prime, and his value is just really high right now. You could probably get a younger player that has safer upside, less of an injury concern. I would strongly consider that move. Rashawn Holmes, ranked in the top 25. He had 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 6 blocks. And doesn't look like I have the extended box score right now. And I'm going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and reload that so we can get that extended box score. All right. Then we're going to look for Rashawn Holmes. And now you have the extended box score. And if you want that extended box score, it's simple. You need to download the Fantasy Basketball Wizard, WZRD, Chrome extension, and you'll get this extended box score, as well as knowing how many games played each player on your waiver wire has left for the week, which is great for streaming. You have that information up front. It's a great tool. I love it, and one I highly recommend. Anyways, back to Rashawn Holmes. Those 6 blocks, really juicy. His production so far this season has been great. 67% shooting, almost 80% free throw percentage, close to 2 blocks per game. He keeps the turnovers low. I'm a huge fan of Rashawn Holmes. As long as he's healthy, he's going to continue eating all season long. But he is a sell high candidate. he was being drafted around the 70 to 80 range, and he's been performing at a really high level. I would probably offer, see if you could package him and maybe another piece. Maybe you could get a guy like Miles Turner, who has the ability to hit threes, which I value a whole lot. Just something to keep in mind. Harrison Barnes is another Kings player that's been performing at an incredibly high level. He's averaging 50% from the field, 56% free throw, close to two threes, almost 17 points, six rebounds, three assists. The steals and blocks numbers are low, and the turnovers are pretty low considering he's getting you 3.5 assists. I don't believe this is sustainable production for Harrison Barnes either. His value's really high right now, so you may want to consider picking him up. I'm sorry, you might want to consider trading him. This was a guy you could have picked with one of your last round picks during your draft, so this is close to peak value for him. Can he keep it up all season? I just don't see it. Not saying that he won't, but I personally don't see it, so I would try to sell high while you have the opportunity. Domantas Sabonis is another candidate for trade, in my opinion, because he's so valued right now. Though there are some things he hurts you in, such as turnovers. And keep in mind, this is more for categories leagues and points leagues. He's probably one of the best players out there right now. But his free throw percentage is low. He gets you under 1-3 per game. Doesn't really get you steals. Barely gets you blocks. And 3.5 turnovers is a lot of turnovers for a center eligible player. So he does hurt you in certain categories, and you can't ignore it. There's certain builds where I would consider moving him, especially if I value threes, if I value blocks, or if I'm trying to protect my turnovers and free throw percentage. Just something to keep in mind. You can probably get a really good player back. I'm talking about a top 10 player. Do you take a risk on somebody like Karl Anthony Towns? Maybe you offer him and you get Anthony Davis for him. I think I prefer Anthony Davis for Anthony Davis's ability to get me steals and blocks. And usually, even though his free throw percentage has been pretty low by his standards, a high free throw percentage. Kyrie Irving has been absolutely amazing this season when he's playing. He's somebody else I grabbed in my Barack Lesnar Hoops Cash Subscriber League. His percentages are just absolutely insane. Almost 54% from the field, almost 95% free throw, over 3 three-pointers, over 28 points per game. The steals, not great, but 0.8 blocks per game from Kyrie Irving. That is a nice wrinkle to his game. And 2.3 turnovers when he's getting 5.7 assists. Maybe you could offer Domantas Sabonis for Kyrie Irving. I don't think that's a bad move at all, because Kyrie helps you in a lot more areas, in my opinion. So Kyrie Irving has been great. Definitely a sell-high candidate if you have concerns about his health, you have concerns about his role, or you have concerns that he may need more time off on occasion to get himself right. People were trying to get rid of him just a couple of weeks ago, but with performances like this, if you held on, this is your sell high opportunity. It's hard to sell high, but you know why? Because things are going peachy. If you wait until they're doing poorly to trade, that's when you get lower value. It just is what it is. Do you want to sell a PS5 when nobody wants one, or do you want to sell it when everybody wants one and can't find one and will pay you $300 or $400 more for it? I think it's pretty simple. Dellen Wright is ranked 65 for the season, and his ability to get steals, the over half a block per game, just to contribute across the board, has been pretty good. I would consider packaging him in a deal for one of the top guys in the league, just to see if you can get a better player. I think at some point we could see his production fall off some and him lose value. So I'd say he's definitely a sell high right now, because his performances have been really strong over the last few weeks after starting the season off pretty poorly. This is your sell high opportunity right now for Dellen Wright. Jared Allen, I'm going to put him as a sell high just because his value was so low after the trade to the Cleveland Cavaliers. People were concerned that playing behind Andre Drummond, he wouldn't have the same opportunity. But he played 35 minutes in a win against Minnesota, had 23 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 blocks. This is your time to move him if you had those concerns, because if Andre Drummond continues to play, which is a big possibility, we could see him take another hit to his playing time. And then it'll become hard to trade him again. So this is a sell high opportunity right now after that strong of a performance. Malik Beasley is another guy that we can discuss as a sell high candidate. Though his game against Cleveland was not a strong one, he's still ranked 68 for the season. He's putting up decent production across the board. And there are concerns about the looming suspension. We don't know when the suspension is going to happen. I keep repeating that. But while he's playing this well, you can catch an owner who's maybe not paying attention to the suspension or just doesn't care because they need the production that Malik Beasley can offer. Even if he is suspended, we don't know how long it's going to be. I mean, Jimmy Butler just missed like 2 or 3 weeks worth of games. Is there really a difference between that and the suspension? So I guess the big deal is if he's suspended, he probably won't be IR eligible. So you'll have to carry some dead weight for some time. So if he does end up getting suspended this season, this is a pretty good sell high opportunity for you right now while the production is there. And while there, it's unknown if he's going to be suspended or not, and if he is suspended, when that's going to happen, definitely keep that in mind. If you have him, I moved him in one of my leagues. I moved him for Mitchell Robinson in the package, and I think I got Seth Curry back as well. So now is the time to move him while his value is still really high, because any news about a suspension could send his value plummeting. Oh, did you think I would not talk about this man? Did you really consider that? Did you? Mr. Robert Covington, for a guy who's gotten so much crap, he's ranked at 101. Oh man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be so... Okay, it's only been 3 games of him performing well. Fine. Let me not get ahead of myself. But I told you until I was blue in the face and you guys made fun of me. Half of the funny comments directed my way are about my love of Robert Covington. And that's why I'm wearing my Blazers gear for Mr. Robert Covington. Because I told you guys, hold on to him. I was reading in Reddit NBA where someone said that people holding on to him is sunk cost theory. And that's silly. And let me tell you why. Sunk cost theory is when an asset depreciates and has no real way of appreciating again. So the cost is gone. You lost it. So say a car, for example, you buy a car for $20,000. You drive it off the lot. You keep it for a week. It depreciates and chances are it's not going to reach $20,000 ever again. So that is when sunk cost applies. But for an asset that's underperforming, that has the value to improve, that has the opportunity to improve, it's not sunk cost. Think of a stock in the stock market. Is it sunk cost because you buy a stock while the price is low? And maybe it goes a little lower, but then the stock jumps up. How is it sunk cost when the asset has the opportunity to appreciate in value? That's what was happening with Robert Covington. People were deeming that because he had a rough month, that now means the rest of his career is going to be rough. That meant that 1 month represented that he had fallen off and was no longer good at basketball, despite him not being injured, despite him still getting significant minutes. The assumption is he just failed to understand the game of basketball any longer, and it's a sunk cost to hold on to him, as in you're just holding on for no reason and you should give up because that's it, the value's lost. That's a really silly assumption to make about a healthy player that's been a top round player for half a decade right now. He's proven it on so many of my teams. I've had him since he came from the D League on the 76ers that were a tanking team where everyone was making fun of him for tanking. Robert Covington was doing then what he is able to do now. We saw him get 5 3-pointers, 19 points, 9 rebounds, a steal, and a turnover. I had someone very arrogantly bragging that they dropped him for Mr. Wayne Ellington. They bragged, oh, I dropped him for Wayne Ellington because Wayne Ellington has been killing. Wayne Ellington has scored like 5 points combined the last 2 games. And they let Robert Covington go right as Robert Covington is now experiencing an upswing. If you listen to this channel, I hope you listen to me, because my argument was it's a 1 month sample size of Robert Covington being a poor fantasy asset. To ignore 5 years of proven returns for 1 month. 1 month is absolute silliness. Have you ever heard the expression mid-season form? What do you think mid-season form means? mid-season form, that in and of itself implies that there is a time period necessary for players to play themselves into like that peak performance mode. Mid-season form. That means the middle of the season. So 1 month in, you're giving up on guys who are healthy because they're not acclimating to a new team. That is absolute nonsense. And I guess there's some situations if you're in an 8-team league, a 10-team league, and maybe half your players are injured and you just don't have a choice. That's one thing. But again, 1 month into the season, you could stomach a lot of pain up front if you manage to have a strong team for the latter half of the season. All you have to do is sneak into the playoffs with a really strong team to win it all. But if you're sacrificing assets like Robert Covington for guys who have two or three good games, you're giving away your talent for pump and dumps, which I've advised you to not do. I'm sorry to have to go on a tangent there, but it was just frustrating me because I come to you with these things out of experience, out of me giving up on guys too early, only to watch them produce on somebody else's team while the guy that I picked up is doing poorly. And the one thing you learn about fantasy basketball is a lot of these patterns repeat. They don't always, what's the quote? Life doesn't always repeat, but it often does rhyme. So you see this happening often. When a guy shows you who he is for extended periods of time, believe him. And 1 month is not extended periods of time, okay? The opportunity was there. And again, this is only three games. This is a small sample size. So he could go back to putting up laying eggs for another 2 weeks and then I look dumb. But overall, you need to make calculations based on what guys can help you later on this season, even if you're sacrificing some right now. All right, guys, that is my list for right now of sell high candidates. I'm sure there are some I missed, but in the interest of time, let me know which ones I missed. Let me know which one of these guys you have and are planning to sell high on. And if you had Robert Covington and you were trying to get rid of him because he was garbage and waiver wire fodder, now's your opportunity after a game like this. People listening to my video, then I'm sure other YouTubers are commenting on this as well. Lord Robert Covington is back, at least for the moment, and your window is here. You want to get rid of him, but chances are now you don't want to get rid of him because he's performing. So you're selling low and then you're buying high on players, which is an amazing way to deplete your assets. All right, guys, do me a favor. Smash that like button. Subscribe to Barack Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. Visit www.baracklesnarhoops.com if you would like to see the hear the podcast form of this content. And visit the official Discord of Barack Lesnar Hoops. We are at 86 members. And just look at this beautiful Discord server. We got a general chat going on. We have injury updates here. We have waiver wire suggestions and discussion. We have category leagues. We just have, honestly, if you find a better fantasy basketball Discord, please let me know. The people that put this together for me are some of the best in the industry, and they did an amazing job. And their one goal was to create the neatest, most organized Discord server for fantasy basketball, possibly fantasy sports, on the entirety of not only Discord but the internet. And I think they accomplished that. We have people discussing trades. There's a Rate My Team section where you can come post your team, and when I do my Rate My Team videos, I'm gonna go over your teams during those Rate My Team videos. There's a mailbag section where you can come ask me your questions for my mailbag videos. And if you join my Patreon channel, you're gonna get access to Patreon only content, okay? That's going to include video chat and voice chat, and you're going to have the ability to contact me and ask me questions directly. I'm limiting access to me directly because I have to dedicate that time for my members as well as my Patreon subscribers. So if you want to be able to reach out to me and talk about life, talk about your team, ask me questions, you want to talk about investing, you want to talk about counterfeit jerseys, whatever you want to discuss, let me know and we can discuss it. But that is a privilege and access to me that I'm going to afford those members that join below on my YouTube channel or subscribe to my Patreon, because it supports the work that I'm doing here. right, guys, until next time, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. Watch one of these videos above. They're going to be great. Take care.